Well, guys, what a night. Hey, you all. This is Mike Siegel from Big Blue Interactive, and the pick is in. The New York Giants have selected tight end Evan Engram in the first round of the NFL draft. And joining me tonight are two guys who love this pick, Dave T. Thomas of the NFL Draft Report and Cy56 of rlads.com. Cy, tell us what you think about this pick.
Love the pitch. You know, Eli Manning needs more weapons in this passing game. They're going to have to figure out how they're going to give him more time. But, you know, at this point in the draft, you're looking for guys who can be able to come in and create mismatches, and that's exactly what Engram gets you. He's just an elite athlete, just a great mover from the position. You don't find many tight ends that are weigh 235 pounds, can run a 4.440, can jump as well as him. You're just talking a top-tier athlete, but more than that, he's a very refined receiver. You know, runs good routes, catches the ball, can do a lot after the catch. He's smart, high IQ on the field. You know, you'll see some of the naysayers say he's not a good blocker, but you know what? That's not what you're bringing him here to do. You know, you're bringing him in to just add another weapon to the offense, and you know what? He's no slouch as a blocker. You know, he graded out very highly against linebackers at defensive back. You know, we're not going to be asking him to block defensive ends, that's for sure. So, three-time first-team All-SEC, two-time team captain. You know, I think he fits the Giants' way in more ways than one. And I think by midseason, you're going to be looking at a guy that's getting thrown the ball a ton.
Dave, do you want to say a few words about Engram?
A few words. I think the people up here in Boston are going to have me arrested. I made a bet with my son. I says, I was praying. I mean, I'm seeing Howard in the Morse line. I'm saying, please, somebody take Howard. Please, somebody take Foster. That's all I kept on saying. Came up to that pick, and Engram went out. I had bet my son before that. I says, if they take Engram, I'm walking out on the street and I'm doing a jig. Luckily, I was with a bunch of Irishmen, man, because they didn't mind too much. I look at this kid, though, man. I mean, his routes are crisp and defined. He has the body control and quickness that allows him to easily uncover and separate after the catch. The thing I love about him, he won't hesitate to compete and go up for the ball, especially over the middle. And this is a rarity where you find in those pass-catching type of tight ends. And I agree with Cy. You look at his blocking statistics from last year. We had 56 knockdown blocks in the open field. I'm not going to ask much more from a guy, especially with a guy with 4.42 speed. I know he's got the vertical mark to get deep. Sure hands, does a nice job extending for the catch away from the body's framework. He's everything that the Giant offense needed. This is the spark. You put him in there with Shepard, you put him in with Beckham and Marshall, and just go, let's bring Miles Davis back out of retirement and go with the run and gun. This little offense will take place, and luckily we don't have Plaxico Burress on the team, because if he heard it was a pistol offense, he'd be doing another year in jail.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay, pistol jokes.
Hey, listen, I'm up here with a friend of mine, a childhood friend, and he's the bishop up here in Boston. When they took Trubisky with that pick, oh, man, I got to go to confession now tomorrow.
Cy, talk to me about the other NFL East picks. The Eagles, surprisingly, went with Barnett.
Well, I don't think it was too much of a surprise. I had them looking at Edgetown. I had Hassan Reddick going to them. You know, obviously, he wasn't on the board when they picked. I did think they were going to go for an edge guy, and Derek Barnett, you know, hate to say it, but I love him. You know, I think he's right up there with the top edge rushers in the class. You know, he's the only player in SEC history with three straight 10-sack seasons. You know, the only player in SEC history. You know, just let that sit for a while. 29 of his 33 career sacks came against SEC opponents. So we're not talking about a guy that beats up on the weak opposition. He's a gamer. You know, he's the kind of guy that you love him if he's on your team. You hate him if he's on the other team, because he plays angry, he plays hard, he plays violent. There are some people that aren't high on him. He lacks some of the ideal measurables. Not that tall, not that long, not that fast. Doesn't really have the pure edge rushing body. But I think he's going to be a guy that contributes pretty early to that defense. And you know, New York, this kind of creates a little more urgency with the Giants. They're going to have to figure out what's going on at left tackle sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I think Philadelphia is going to have to try to figure out what they're going to do with the two of them, because you got Graham, who's a right defensive end, and now you're bringing in Barnett, and that's predominantly where he's lined up during his Tennessee career. So now you're going to have to try to figure, okay, who's going to put the hand down on the other side? I think what it's going to come down to over here, Barnett's possibly going to struggle with that because they tried to use him on the left side over at Tennessee earlier this season, and that's when he had a problem. So they shifted him back inside, and they moved the right defensive end into the tackle spot.
Mm. Well, if he's a good player, I'm sure they're going to find some work for him to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Washington got Allen, Cy.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot of the coverage tomorrow saying that Washington got one of the best deals of the first round. You heard halfway through the draft that he's got some shoulder issues that popped up in physicals that looks like they're going to be arthritic or they are arthritic. And that's never a good sign. I don't think that's the only reason he fell. He's another one of those defensive linemen right now that he's kind of entering the league without a true position. He's not a pure edge guy, and I don't know if he's big enough to be a D tackle. By no means do I think he's a poor player. He was definitely top 15 on my overall board. But I think if he's used correctly, he could be a dominant force, especially as an inside pass rusher. He's incredibly smart. He's got NFL caliber hands, feet, when it comes to his techniques, which can't be overlooked. Everyone's always constantly looking for tools and 40 times and verticals. This guy's a football player. He's further along than most guys that entered the league. And you don't win the awards that he won this past year without being a dominant force. So this is another situation where you're starting to look at this Giants offensive line, and they're going to have their hands full coming up.
Me, if I'm a dear Giant offensive lineman and I'm going up against Allen over here, I'm banging my helmet in his left shoulder, left and right. I mean, look at the kid, 2014, rotator cuff surgery, 2015, he re-injures his shoulder, goes back in again for more surgery. And then in 2016, he has a repair of the tear of his labrum. I mean, what are they going to do right now, bring Allen Alder in?
Dallas got Taco Charlton.
Taco Charlton was a guy I thought Jerry Reese was going to be going for. I had a few people I was talking to during the draft, and I had mentioned his name a few times, not because I wanted the Giants to draft him this early, but I thought that he kind of fits exactly what Reese usually looks for from defensive end. I personally don't think he's a first-round caliber guy. I actually had him more of a round three guy. He was a one-year contributor at Michigan. He spent 4 years there and didn't play until senior season. He was kind of a rotational guy up until this point. There's some rumors that he wasn't very coachable, wasn't much of a worker leading up to this year. But with that said, he was first-team All-Big Ten this year, finishing third in the conference, 10 sacks. And you can't deny the upside, size, speed, physical player. I think he plays a little bit faster than he timed. I just think he needs a little bit more experience. He's definitely less experienced compared to some of these other guys that have been drafted. But, Dallas needs more defense than probably anyone in the NFL. I think every single one of these picks they have should be on the defensive side of the ball. Who knows what's going on their defensive line. So high upside pick, but it's not something that would really strike here to me compared to what the other two teams in the conference got.
Yeah, but you got to go ahead and look, too. They desperately needed a pass rush. This is a kid that's
absolutely
coming in. I mean, he probably spent last offseason with Mr. Miyagi because those hands of his, I mean, the moves that he made. Do you realize what he did this year? I mean, he drew an offensive lineman into 15 penalties this year. I mean, with those hands, the way he gets underneath the jersey, that's going to be the key with him. But they're bringing him in for that situation. They just want him to get it a pass rusher. So on the sidelines, I'm lighting his hair, I'm putting his helmet on, and I'm sending him in.
Yeah.
And he's got a really good coach, let's face it. Rod Marinelli, he seems to know how to get the best out of all his guys.
He knows
what
to do with the
Lamp already. If Forrest Lamp got himself an endorsement deal from Lamps Plus, imagine what Taco Bell's going to do with this guy.
Yeah, somebody on BBI posted a Taco with talking about this guy.
An offensive lineman gets the first big marketing deal of the offseason. God bless America.
So, Dave, you want to talk to us a little bit? I know you're hopped up about some of the other stuff that took place tonight. You want to talk about some of the stuff that you've been juiced up about? I know you were excited about the trade with San Francisco.
Well, don't stand close to me on that deal, because God's going to send down a lightning bolt pretty soon. I'm hanging out in a rectory. I see that trade, and the next thing that came out of my mouth, and it was a full version of WTF. So I got in a little trouble there. But, I mean, here's what it came down to. And I told people before time, because a couple of the GMs were telling me that going to deal with John Lynch is going to be a cakewalk. One of them even said to me, dealing with John Lynch will be like stealing candy from a baby. Okay, well, the Cleveland Browns front office right now, that baby just picked your pocket. Look how much they got, just to move up one spot. And that trade defies logic, because you got $15 million and a mediocre quarterback on your hands. Now you're going to dole out big bucks to this guy. You're saying, okay, he's going to sit on the bench for a year, but you're talking about probably having $25 million of your cap tied up on two QBs.
Mm. They did what I thought the Giants were going to do. They went with a need pick. They needed a quarterback because they just got rid of their quarterback. I thought the Giants were going to go offensive line for the same reason, but Chicago really, I think you're right. I think they really reached here.
Well, why spend $15 million on Glennon if you were so desperate to move up and get this quarterback? And I think Cleveland, if you look at their draft right now, Cleveland was basically forced to take Myles Garrett. But why not trade up to get another quarterback, especially with the moves that were going in front? Even at number 12. I mean, they're sitting at 12 and only two QBs were off the board. And they were screaming, we got to get a QB, got to get a QB. Next thing we know over there, who's picking the Houston Texans at number 12?
And it also sounds like the NFL was listening to you about Bama.
I two things that scared me going into this draft. Chicago being deathly silent out there. I did not hear a peep word out of Chicago whether they wanted to trade down, trade up, or anything. And the second thing was everybody that was saying, O.J. Howard's a top 10, Jonathan Allen is a top 10. Then I'm going in, I'm seeing the boards, and everybody has them like in the bottom third of their group. I just felt that there was going to be a free fall for the tight end, and it happened. It looked like San Francisco saved Reuben Foster just now, and that's a good pickup for them because they got a top 10 talent at the number 31 spot. But, boy, oh, boy, I tell you, this off-field stuff is starting to impact people. I was shocked. I just, with Connolly right now, everybody was saying, he was going to go in three. I knew the Pokes were going to pop on him in two. But good old Reggie. Reggie did his homework on it, found out a lot of stuff about the off-field issue, and was comfortable enough to take him at number 24. This sets up the Giants with a lot of talent, though, out there in round two. I mean, you got Deion Dawkins that I would be looking to bring in. If Ryan Anderson is there, I'm going to turn around and address my defense. And I think right now with Watt off the board, I don't think Bowser will be there when they come up in round two. So I'm looking at right now what might be the glass slipper for them in the next 2 days.
You got any thoughts about that, Cy?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of offensive line talent. I mean, if the Giants wanted to go offensive line, I think day two was the day to do it, because you spend a day two pick an offensive lineman, you're okay with these guys not playing right away, even though they can show up to training camp and compete for a starting spot. But if you're using a first-round pick on one of these guys, you're pretty much expecting them to come in and start right away. And I think we talked about just that we don't think any of these guys are capable of starting week one. So any of these offensive line names, I mean, Deion Dawkins, Dan Feeney, even Cam Robinson, Dorian Johnson, I think these are guys worth looking at tomorrow night, rounds two and three. A couple other names that I like a lot. I know the Giants don't need a cornerback, but Kevin King out of Washington pops out top of my board. He's my top available player right now. Chris Wormley, defensive tackle. We talked about defensive tackle probably being the biggest need if you're looking at the depth chart right now. I like Chris Wormley, Montrevious Adams, Dalvin Tomlinson. And then, the guy I projected for the second round is still there, DeMarcus Walker. I think that's a perfect fit for the Giants' defense. And, Dave's guy, Jordan Wills, still sitting there. Very curious to see what happens with Dalvin Cook tomorrow. I really am. There's a ton of talent on the board right now. I think the Giants are in a good spot. No need to trade up. Just let the board fall as it did in round one. And I think you'll have your choice of guys that are high enough on the board.
Any last thoughts from you, Dave?
Yeah, I tell you, when we open up tomorrow, you are just going to see, we're going to see the offensive linemen start popping up off on the board. It's a very thin crop of offensive linemen. I think that will, if Deion Dawkins makes it down to the Rutherford's pick, they got to really look at that and address that issue, because right now the quality on the offensive line with the Giants is lacking. I still feel that they need to get themselves a good edge rusher linebacker type, a big physical guy. My glass slipper's got to go out to Ryan Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Still got Derek Rivers available as well.
Yeah. Oh, Derek Rivers out there. And if you even go down a little bit further, down day three, I think they're going to find quality defensive tackles sitting on board. The amount of attention they played on that injured guy out of Toledo, Trayvon Hester, mm-hmm. I think that was going to happen with this guy in a Giant uniform in round five. I still say that they're going to go ahead and look on the offense where they got to look for, offensive line and running back. Defense, that's probably the next priority, don't you agree, Si?
Absolutely. You know, I think if you had to rank them, I think you're looking at offensive line, edge, whether it's defensive end or linebacker, defensive tackle, then running back. I think I'd rather them sit on running back till day three, because I think what you're looking for is that short yardage back. I think no matter what, you're going to find him available day three. You know, so if you're looking at, if you had to make a couple of predictions here, I think they go defensive edge talent round two, and then round three you're looking at an offensive line or a defensive tackle.
And then we follow up in day three, and that's where you're going to find a lot of veterans that all of a sudden see rookies competing for their spot. I think we'll see a lot of teams out there, round six, round seven, offering veterans up for a mere draft pick at the end of the draft.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Buckle your seatbelts, guys, because tomorrow is going to be another exciting day, it looks like. Hey, you guys are good sports. We started this taping at midnight Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for hanging out.
I think you noticed one thing, though, guys, that Roger Goodell probably got booed more than a Halloween mask. It was unbelievable. I couldn't hear edgewise when he was staying on stage. I hope to dear God they don't bring him back out for round two, man.
I think he's going to call clips.
They have each of the teams are sending up their different representatives tomorrow.
Well, hopefully your BBI readers will check in on Saturday morning. I'll be as soon as I get back over to my complex, I'll be posting a monster report on Mr. Ingram and what happens in round two and round three.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Dave T. Thomas and Psy 56, you've been consistently providing us with solid entertainment. And on behalf of Dave and Psy and Eric Kennedy, this is Mike Siegel from BBI signing off until our next podcast after rounds two and three tomorrow night, or later today, depending on your time zone. Guys, good night.